the new year, this will kick off our first show of the 21st year of Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show. Heard every Sunday at this time, the award-winning All Things Edible program right here on WGN. And this week on our Food Time show, we're trying to help you eat a little healthier. Come on, it's only the fourth day of the new year. You can't have fallen off the wagon that much, have you? You resolved that you're going to eat better, that you're going to exercise more. I don't know about all you, but I ate very healthfully last night with a full slab of ribs. And I admit it right in front of a registered dietitian also. My pal, Christine Bolumbo, registered dietitian in the Naperville area. Yeah, I ate ribs. What are you going to do about it?
All I can say is, you know, today is the first day of the rest of your life. How about that?
That's why I had, and you know what? That is why I was sensible last night a little bit, because I knew I was going to have the ribs. It was somebody's birthday party at Twin Anchors, a restaurant in the Old Town neighborhood. You know, it's one of my favorite rib places. So I knew I was going to have that. I didn't have fries.
Good. That's huge.
So
that's
huge. They know, and they have fantastic fries.
Uh-huh.
I had a baked potato instead.
Good.
And salad.
Good. That's all good.
But I
had the whole slab of ribs.
I ate the whole damn slab
okay.
of ribs.
Well,
I may have eaten a couple of bones, too. I recommend the zesty barbecue sauce when you go there. It was. I mean, so now, because now, you know, I'm thinking. It's, you know, it was the weekend. There was a birthday celebration last night. Mm-hmm. I ate sensibly, you know, during the day yesterday because I knew I was going to splurge a little bit at night. I tried to balance it off a little bit.
Good.
And so there.
Well, good for you. I went to a wedding last night.
Oh, good.
And
what did you eat?
Well, you know what? A young man who I've known since he was about 4 or 5 years old, and I did not partake of any of the appetizers, mainly because I didn't like the way they looked. I mean, they just did not appeal to me.
Didn't appeal to you.
But right. I did have a glass of wine.
Okay.
And then we sat down for dinner, and I had, you know, we had to pre-select, of course, and my husband had the filet, and I had the halibut. So I had, what did we have? Soup, like a little bit of butternut squash soup.
Oh, see, now that's
it was delicious,
nice.
And it was
that's
a small nice. Portion. I did not have the roll.
Yeah.
Again, mainly because I'm not a fan of pretzel rolls.
Yeah.
But if I had wanted it, I would have had probably half.
If they had some nice fresh baked Greek bread,
well,
I bet you would have eaten
that's
that.
True. And then, see, I think there was salad, and it was delicious, and I ate all of that because I knew that those greens and the vegetables,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the old saying about food is medicine is very, very true.
Right.
And so I had most of the halibut, and then they had like a sweet table, and I had one of those little mini cream puffs, and
I ate,
you know, like maybe half of that.
Right.
And then we had dancing, and it was a band, and my husband and I danced our booties off.
Oh, nice.
And we really danced hard. I mean, to the point I was thinking, okay, could they play a song that I don't like so I can sit down and rest?
Right.
But I did burn calories, but this goes to show that, you know, life happens. We may have plans to do everything by the book, whether it's an actual diet book, diet plan, or we have something in our heads. You know, we're very, you know, some of us are very rigid. But if you are going to lead us an active social life, and hopefully most of us have invitations or we have people over, we're going to have situations where, you know, that we're faced with where you've got splurges.
Yeah.
And you can certainly enjoy foods that you you know, you really like. You just don't have to eat.
It's about balance, really, isn't
it? And common sense.
Common sense and balance, really.
Correct.
Where do you think most people fall off the track? Because we all start with such great intentions. I went to the gym the other day, and you couldn't even get on a machine. I mean,
is that
it was
right?
So busy. Mm-hmm. Everyone has decided,
yeah,
it's New Year, I'm going to be healthy, I'm going to work out. And I promise you, in about a month, you'll be able to get on any machine that you want to get on.
Probably less than a month.
Yeah.
You know, many of us try to do too much at once. And with men in particular, they think, okay, the way that I'm going to lose weight is I'm going to work out, and I'm going to burn all these calories.
Right.
But and then they do too much. Well, okay, that's you.
I specifically heard that ribs were diet food.
If you have a couple of them. But back to the exercising. So you can only burn so many calories. Really, the way to lose weight, if you're trying to, you know, change your diet and lose weight for the new year, you need to restrict your calories. But if you do too much too soon, what's going to happen? You're going to be really sore, and you're going to say, and you might even injure yourself. You don't want to do that.
Right.
But I want to, you know, a lot of us have made those resolutions. You have to be careful. There was a new study just published right around Christmas Day. It was Cornell University research by the famous Brian Wansink, who's got a new book out, Slim by Design. But anyway, he found in this study that while the average person shopped, after the New Year, people bought three times the amount of healthier foods, like fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they did that after the New Year, but they didn't back down on junk food purchases.
Mm.
And so they purchased more calories. They didn't really study so much how many calories, but it looks like about 14% more calories were eaten after New Year's because they added the healthy things.
Right.
They didn't so much cut back on the junk stuff.
In addition to the bad stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And this held true through Super Bowl Sunday. So if you think about it, you know, the holiday season is just not the 2 weeks between,
right,
you know, right before Christmas and New Year's. But it starts, if you think about it, maybe the middle of October when people are starting to bring in Halloween candy.
Halloween parties, right? Yeah, yeah.
And then through November, through December, through
Super Bowl.
Yeah, so this is the time to actually go in your kitchen. You know, most of us are taking down our Christmas decorations this weekend. I know I'm going to do that probably tomorrow. But it's also a good time then to do a clean sweep of your kitchen. Open up your cabinets, pull out the junk food, pull out things that are expired. Same thing with your refrigerator and freezer. Inventory and see what you have. Just like a lot of us make financial decisions, you know, at the end of the year or beginning of the year, our investments. There's no better investment than in your health that you can make.
Okay. What do you think are the best ways? I mean, because bottom line really, isn't it? You have to burn off more calories than you take in.
Yes.
I don't care what fad diet comes along, what the latest trend is, what it is. It comes down to this. You must, you have to burn off more calories than you take in a given day. What's the best way to do that?
The best way that, well, there are several things. One is you need to get off the couch. You see, I brought a remote control.
We did bring props for those of you watching on WGNRadio.com. Again, Christine thinks she's on television, so she brought props.
So, but this signifies the lack of physical activity we have in our lives.
Right.
All these little labor saving. Think about the telephone. When you and I were kids, Dean, if the phone rang, we had to get up.
Right.
And we had to walk to another room.
Right.
Many of us, there was one or two telephones in the whole home, you know, the whole house or apartment.
Right, right, right.
Now, where's our phone? It's in our pocket or it's right next to us.
Right.
All these. So you need to move your body more as much as possible. Be inefficient.
But how do you know how to, you know, if you're going to manage your food.
Okay.
How do you? What's the best way to do that? Because I have an app on my phone.
Okay, good.
And when I'm counting calories, which I plan on doing starting tomorrow.
What about
I have
today?
I have one more dinner party today. I'm going to try to be good, but I do know I have one more dinner party
today. Eat everything, but just tiny portions.
No. Okay. I don't plan on going crazy with it. But I have an app on my phone that's called MyFitnessPal.
Very popular.
If you go to MyFitnessPal, look up the app. It's free.
Yes.
And then all you do is you type in what you eat. It shows you your calories, so you can kind of keep track.
Mm-hmm.
You can see if you go off the boards with something that you need to balance it off. Or if you completely blow a day where you go completely overboard, you're at least a little more conscious for tomorrow. That's really the best you can do.
Yeah.
That's what I think is the best. What about for you?
Well, I agree with that. Something to keep in mind is that with every birthday, we require fewer calories.
Oh.
And that's something that we forget about. We forget about, you know, we can't eat the same way we did when we were in our 20s, you know, or our teens. So every year you require fewer calories. The various apps, the various diets are out there are great if you need structure. You don't have to do that. But so think in terms of food groups. Fill up on the low-calorie things, and it's not just kale.
Like ribs?
Not as well. but you know, I mean, you don't, if you don't like kale, you don't have to eat kale. But fill up on the produce, fill up on unprocessed foods, and just and try to cut back on the. I mean, you know, the highly processed foods,
right.
The very rich things.
Let me. We'll go down the list in a couple of minutes here. We need to take a break and update the news, and then we'll offer you some practical tips that you can actually follow for more healthful eating for the new year. Christine Palumbo is here, registered dietitian. And we'll get to more with her and you on the phones and text 312-981-7200-WGN. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Food Time Show, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show on the air. My pal Christine Palumbo with us, registered dietitian. Helping us to eat more healthily, you know, try to live out all these resolutions that we're making to be more healthy eating-wise and physical activity-wise for the new year. Christine, explain to me why you are wearing a blindfold right now.
It's not a blindfold, Dean. It's
are we going to play a pin the tail on the talk show host or something?
It's a sleep mask, and it's to... you need a sleep mask to sleep, but it's to discuss the importance, the growing body of research that suggests that if our bodies are well rested, if our bodies are fortified, it will transcend the rest of our decisions, all of our decisions the rest of the day, including and especially our food intake.
Hmm.
And I'm going to simplify things greatly. When we are sleep deprived, our bodies produce a hormone called ghrelin, which makes us feel hungrier, even when we shouldn't be hungry, but we feel hungry. And then it also reduces the amount of a hormone called leptin, which helps us feel full. But if you think about it, when we are sleep deprived, you're trying to survive. We're in survival mode, and we reach for what? All the wrong things,
right.
All the high carb, highly processed foods. So sleep is not a waste of time. Au contraire, it is something that should be a priority for us. And so many of us are going to bed with our devices, our phones, our iPads, etc. And the light that is very close to our eyes, it's that blue colored light that shines through our retina. I don't really know all the, you know, but it keeps... It prevents the production of another hormone called melatonin from being produced.
Yeah.
So it's actually better to go to bed with a paper magazine or a book, and that will, you know, some scientific study.
I would imagine TV the same thing, right?
You know,
so many people.
Yes.
I do. I have the TV on when I go to sleep.
You know, I do too. Generally, televisions, though, are farther enough away from our eyes that it does not have as big of an impact as these little devices that are close to our eyes. But you are right. TV is something that really should not be in the bedroom.
Yeah, simply getting a more restful sleep,
yes,
not only for diet reasons, but just to make sure that this machine called your body,
correct,
operates fully functionally. So
correct.
You're able to deal with stress more efficiently. You're able to deal that all of the working parts of this machine called your body can work more efficiently.
Yes.
If you are getting the proper amount of sleep, which is what, 8 hours?
It depends on the person. Most people need between 7 and 8 hours of good quality sleep. There are a few exceptions. You know, going back to Thomas Edison days, one of his motivations for developing the electric light bulb was he felt that sleeping was a waste of time. He was one of those rare individuals who did not need much sleep, you know, one of those maybe 4-hour night types of people.
Right.
So he thought that people would be more productive. Actually, no, this is not nutrition, but I've been reading about sleep. There was a book that came out not too long ago, and apparently many, many years ago before electricity, people would go to sleep when it got dark, and then they would wake up after, I think, 90 minutes or a couple of hours. I guess you sleep in like 90-minute segments. So people would get up, and they would do things, they would get up, they'd have a meal, they would socialize, they whatever, and then they'd go back to bed for a second sleep.
Yeah.
Very interesting, yeah.
I think they sort of do that in Europe, don't they? they sort of knock off.
Yeah.
They start late.
Yes.
In many parts of Europe,
yeah.
they knock off in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the siesta.
For lunch, they a siesta time. They take off, and then they go back to work for a couple of hours, and then drink wine all night.
Yeah, right. It's true.
We're living wrong here. So I was telling Christine during the break, she asked me what else that I ate yesterday besides my rib catastrophe that I had. And I mentioned to her that I had an egg white omelet with kale.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was so good with that. And you said that I should have had whole eggs instead of egg white.
Eggs are one of my favorite foods. They are extremely versatile. You know, you can have them for any meal. They're inexpensive. They're very, very nutritious. When you eat the egg white, you are missing out on most of the nutrition of the egg. Egg white is pure protein, so that's a good thing, and that's why you felt full for so long. It's a great breakfast or even a lunch, but the yolk is what contains the healthy fats, the lutein, the various vitamins, minerals, including iron and other antioxidants.
Because forever we heard that the yolks also increased our cholesterol.
And that has been refuted over and over again. As a matter of fact, it's been at least 30 years. However, it's a body of research that's growing. For most of us, we can consume up to 4 egg yolks a week. So you will enjoy the omelet perhaps much better if you had the whole egg, if you use the whole egg.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mind the egg white, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
You know, I enjoyed it because
if that works for you, then fine.
Because I put veggies in it. I mean, I know it sounds like, you know, new agey and all that.
No.
I had gone to the store earlier that day and bought some fresh kale.
Yeah.
And I cooked a gigantic pot of it because I like eating it during the week. I like having it during the week as a side dish. So I had just made it, so I thought I'm going to put a little kale in the omelet. And it was absolutely delicious.
Well, two comments on that. I love the fact that you planned ahead and you cooked a big pot of something. Because when you have food waiting for you in the refrigerator or maybe even the freezer, you are more apt to eat more healthfully because you're eating at home rather than going out for something or, you know, eating the wrong things.
Right.
The other thing is, the idea of adding vegetables to eggs, because one of the, you know, I knew that we'd be talking about various meals, you know, breakfast, lunch, or even dinner, and, you know, you can chop onion, bell peppers, any color, orange, red, green, red, you can chop, mushrooms, zucchini, you can, like, whatever's in the fridge almost. And make yourself, you know, scrambled eggs or an omelet or a frittata.
Yeah.
And that way, that's a good way to incorporate vegetables into your breakfast. Because most of us do not eat vegetables at breakfast.
Wait till you hear what vegetable treat I have coming up later in this week that I have sitting on my counter right now. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Put those headphones on here for a minute because John's on the phone line with a question. 312-981-7200. You have questions about diet, nutrition, health. Christine Palumbo is here, registered dietitian. And John, you are on WGN.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure, thanks. What's up?
So I'm currently a 24-year-old male. I'm interested into getting into bodybuilding. Now, the goal is to build as much muscle while keeping fat at bay. What would Christine Palumbo suggest?
Okay, I'm not an expert on bodybuilding, but what I can tell you, John, is probably what you already know. You want to increase your lean sources of protein. You don't want to go crazy with it. And, you know, exercise, you know, doing, you know, the lifting, the weight, the resistance training, and with some days of rest, that is going to allow your muscles to increase. You need to be patient, just like with weight gain and weight loss when it's fat, you know, you don't gain it all or lose it all overnight. The same thing with muscle building,
So lean sources of protein,
correct.
So like chicken, fish, like that. But
yes.
When I'm at the gym, you know, and hanging out with, other fitness fanatics such as myself,
like you.
I... I see the guys who are doing the most serious weightlifting, like, you know, serious bodybuilding, what it sounds like John wants to do, and they've got the protein shakes, and you see them drinking it while they're working out. Mm-hmm. They're in the locker room afterwards, and they're shaking up some kind of, you know, protein contraption. What's your opinion of all those protein drinks and supplements that a lot of people take when they are trying to build muscle like this?
Well,
that's a great question.
Yeah, the protein drinks are an aid. They can be incorporated. However, they're not necessary. They're very expensive. There are quite a few sports nutrition books that are out there, and I'm going to name a book that I'm familiar with from a colleague out in Boston. Her name is Nancy Clark, and I believe the name of her book is The Nancy Clark Sports Nutrition Book, something to that effect. She will give you common sense recommendations for bodybuilding. She has a recipe in there for homemade sports drinks, so that if you decide to make it on your own as opposed to buying an expensive, sports drink, you can do that. So, but good for you, John. I think I applaud you with your efforts to, gain muscle weight.
What would be a good protein drink for him? I mean, if he's not going to do these, these mixes that get in the store. I did look once, I was looking at the protein drinks. Mm-hmm. There's a million of them.
Right,
John, you see them. They sell them in the gyms.
They are, like Christine said, they're very overpriced. I mean, you can go $4 for one serving.
And then I looked at a carton of milk. I looked at a simple carton of milk. Mm-hmm. I looked at the grams of protein on one and the grams of protein on the other. They were the same.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, well, 8 ounces of milk has 9 grams of protein. You don't have to use the beverages, John. You could, use eggs. You could use lean chicken breast or turkey breast. A lot of us don't think about turkey. There's lean fish. You could make yourself a smoothie using yogurt or regular yogurt or Greek yogurt, which has been strained, so it's higher in protein. It's a little bit more expensive because of that straining. But Greek yogurt and add some flavorings. You could add some vegetables to it.
Fruit? How about some peanut butter? That's super high protein, right?
Peanut butter, almond butter, any sort of nut butter. It is higher in fat because it's the butter. But milk you could do? This goes back. We've been doing this for a long time. You could buy some dry milk powder. Dry milk, which is really inexpensive. It's very inexpensive. You can add that to milk, add some ice cubes, throw a banana in there, maybe some chocolate chips, or throw in a banana with that, and you've got yourself a really good smoothie. Or you could do kale. You could do, a variety of fruits and or vegetables. Avocado in a smoothie is delicious.
You
could add a little sweet.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, my gosh. Avocado, add a little bit of honey or just a little bit of regular sugar.
Really?
Or fruit. Yeah, think about it. Now, you don't want to put the whole avocado in unless, you're a calorie burning machine like Dean is, but
I love that I'm going to be able to drink guacamole.
So,
do I also put tortilla chips in there also?
No,
probably not a good idea.
Too high in carbs. No.
Just checking. John, that book that Nancy was talking about, Nancy Clark's book.
Yeah.
Is called the Sports Nutrition Guidebook.
Thank you.
If you want to
pick
that up, Sports Nutrition Guidebook.
Common sense
works every time. John, good luck to you with all that. Thanks for the call.
Thanks so much. You guys have a great new year.
Christine Palumbo, registered dietitian, is in studio with us today. If you want to learn more, if you want to contact Christine, get more of your questions answered, learn more of what she's talking about, you can always go to her website, which is
ChristinePalumbo.com, and you can connect with me via social media. So you can go to my Facebook page there. We can connect on Twitter. And I have a new blog that I started in the fall. So.
Okay. What's the blog name?
It's within my website.
Okay.
So I am going to actually try to incorporate some of these tips into a blog post that I'm going to post tomorrow morning.
Okay, ChristinePalumbo.com. That's P-A-L-U-M-B-O.com. Christine with a C. And we'll mention that again in a couple of minutes. Okay, so we want to start off, you know, first day back to work after the long holiday. What's a great breakfast, lunch, and dinner suggestion for tomorrow?
Okay, so we talked about your egg dish.
Okay.
So I'm a big fan of eggs. I'm going to give you two other tips. One would be oatmeal, and I know we've talked about oatmeal in the past. This is oatmeal season. Oatmeal will really stick to your ribs. It's what I had this morning, knowing that I was going to be coming down here and I wouldn't be having a lunch, you know, until a little bit later. I like the old-fashioned oatmeal as opposed to the instant.
I do, too.
It's less expensive, and it's super easy to cook in the microwave, 2.5 minutes.
Right.
And what you do is you add a handful, just a tiny little handful of chopped nuts. Could be walnuts. Throw in some frozen blueberries or just some other, or chopped apple. You've got yourself a meal that will fill you up for a long time. Very, very nourishing. High in fiber, high in complex carbs, you know, whole grains.
The whole package.
Good fats, the whole package.
Okay.
Another breakfast could be a small whole wheat tortilla that you've spread with some yogurt or some nut butter and maybe some sliced fruit.
Okay.
Okay, let's go backwards. So dinner. We were talking at the break, you know, pork tenderloin. I love pork tenderloin. It's inexpensive. You can. It takes very little time to roast in the oven, and then you have leftovers. Okay, so pork tenderloin. So just think in terms of food groups, Dean. A protein source. A vegetable. So it could be a cooked vegetable. It could be just a huge salad that you make. Have the salad greens on hand. Have them washed. Have everything ready to pull out. A starch of some sort, and hopefully a whole grain starch. So some examples could be bulgur, which is a Middle Eastern, you know, like a cracked wheat.
Mm-hmm, like a grain, right?
Yeah, you know that. Don't be afraid of potatoes, a small baked potato or some, you know, oven roast potatoes, you know, put some parsley or rosemary on it. I'm missing a food group there, but then you've got or a chicken or soup. I'm huge, you know, huge fan of soup. So I'm talking about dinner first, because then have planned overs, and then the next day could be your lunch.
Could be your lunch
it
for the next
be
day.
Some leftover. Have a pork sandwich or
yeah.
a fish sandwich or something.
What I have on my counter at this
yes.
moment,
oh.
as we speak. Yesterday I bought a butternut squash.
Ooh.
That I'm going to cut up, mm-hmm. bite-sized pieces,
uh-huh.
drizzle with olive oil,
ooh.
Sprinkle a little thyme on it.
Ooh.
Delicious.
And, you know, the Tribune had a little piece a month or so ago about how to cut a squash, and that is you put it in the oven for 20 to 30 minutes, and it softens it enough, just enough so that you are not going to kill yourself when you're
That's
trying to...
That's a good tip, because it is hard. I've done this in the past, and it is difficult.
So soften it
even
first.
Even with the sharpest knife. The original recipe where mm-hmm. I got this from also sprinkled blue cheese on top of the butternut squash. Not everybody likes blue cheese or gorgonzola. I do.
Right.
But I was going to just, if you just put olive oil, little salt and pepper, and thyme.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Or,
super low calorie.
Or a little cinnamon and nutmeg
also
on top.
Good. Also good.
But back to that blue cheese. When you add something like that, you increase the umami value.
Umami?
Umami. Not... You, but it has to do with that.
You mommy too.
But there's certain foods, Parmesan cheese, ketchup, mushrooms, artichokes. It increases, okay, you know about monosodium glutamate.
Yeah.
That's a more of a processed version. It really increases the flavor so that you feel satisfied.
Yeah,
just
well,
really delicious.
Yeah. I also have on my counter right now a spaghetti squash.
Ooh.
I've never made a spaghetti squash before. This is going to be my first time. To see
Good
if
luck
I can,
with that.
To see if I can make... Why? What do you mean?
No, it's your first time.
Oh. Thought something bad was going to happen.
No.
I'm told that it's going to be like spaghetti when I'm done.
You know, I have to confess, Dean, I have never... cooked a spaghetti squash
right.
myself.
Well,
because,
I'll
you know what, I'd rather have the real thing.
Although I would rather have the real thing, too, but I'm told that this is better for me.
But
so.
I'm impressed with the fact that you've got things on your counter.
Yeah,
so
I
that's
try
good.
It.
Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Oh, I love that. That's the perfect way to end. ChristinePalumbo.com. You can get more information. Christine is a registered dietitian in Naperville. Happy New Year to you, and thank you for coming in.
Happy, healthy New Year to you, too.